This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2023, held at Pleasant View School in Arcola, Illinois, on March 3 and 4.
How do you know when an administrator is supposed to do something, or when the board is supposed to do it, or when they're supposed to work together, etc.? What does a good relationship between the two look like? Now, one of the first things, of course, that needs to be pointed out here is that our schools are all very different from one another. And I think you probably all have a board, but not everybody has an administrator. But you do have someone who does administrative tasks. It might be a board member, it might be a teacher, it might be a combination or an assortment of people. So that's going to be the harder one to figure out. There are large schools sometimes. Any here today that have an on-site administrator at all times? A few of them, yes. So that would be a minority in our Mennonite or Conservative Anabaptist schools. But the point is, regardless of what your setup is, you're going to have someone who does administrative tasks and someone who does board. And we need to learn how to figure out what those things are, how to differentiate between them. Okay, here's what we want to try to cover today. What does a board do? What does administration do? What do they share? How do they differ? And what does a healthy relationship between the two look like? We'll just try to cover those questions. And I'd like this to be a real workshoppy. I like if you pitch in, if you have questions or comments, just stick your hand up and we'll entertain whatever you have to say. Hopefully it's something that's pertinent. Also, I do want to say here that there are some scriptures that can guide us here. Boards are an instrument of our larger society. Corporations, organizations, businesses, etc., has boards. The government has all kinds of agencies with these same types of structures. And so there has to be a way that we can say in our schools that a board or an administrator can operate on a distinctly Anabaptist position. And so I just want to point out a few scriptures that I think are helpful, or could be helpful for us. One is, you know, Jesus' words from Luke 22, where he said, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise authority upon one another, but among you it shall not be so. But you need to be servants for one another." And you know his whole thing with the upside down kingdom. He came and washed his disciples' feet, the job of the house slave. So that's our job, that's our position, I should say. As board members or as administrators, we serve one another. It's a very different view from, say, a corporate board or a government agency's administrative functions. Also, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And I think that's a principle for us. There is chaos sometimes in relationships. You can get carried away either with either extreme. Some organizations operate very organized, everything in perfect shape and all thought out ahead, and then you're not very flexible. And some just kind of start and let things happen and wonder what's next. You might use Robert's Rules for Order, or you might just have a redneck version of Bobby's Suggestions for Barely Managed Chaos. All right, what is the board's job? First of all, the board deals with vision and mission questions. The board needs to know what it's doing, what the school is doing, and why it's doing it. So I like to suggest that mission is what it's doing, what the board is doing, and vision has to do more with why. That might be a small difference between those two, but they really do go together very well. Organizations often have mission statements. I think your school should have a mission statement. Probably many of you do. Most of you do, hopefully. If you don't, or if you're not sure what it is, dig it out, find it, clarify it, put it in front of you, put it in front of your teachers and your students, put it on the table at board meetings, remind yourself of what this thing is that you're doing, memorize it if you need to. What is your mission? What are you doing? Make a sentence or a paragraph that can be easily, that will easily summarize what you're doing as a school. You're cranking out students. Well-trained student, maybe. That's a pretty crude mission statement. Hopefully you can refine it into something that will be in line with what our churches, our heritage is all about. But you need to do this, and you need to put it in writing. A board needs to do this. If it doesn't have it in writing, it will forget from time to time, from year to year, from, you know, as the board changes over, it can kind of get lost. A board works out general school policy. This also involves writing things down, creating policy, overall policy for the school. This might not include a lot of specifics. It might be more overarching policies or values that you want as a school, and they would be in line with your mission and your vision. It's a good idea for a board to put together a handbook for the school. That would include all the board's policies, or all the board's policies for the school, how the school is supposed to operate. Not necessarily how the school board is supposed to operate, but how the school is supposed to operate. You can have a separate policy for the board, which we did that in our school. That's a good exercise for us. And you could have another handbook, by the way, for the patrons or the teachers. Now, the school handbook might be the one you use for the patrons. But there could be an in-school and maybe a general public handbook. There are lots of different ways to do this. But put your policy in writing. That's a board's job. That creates stability and allows for people to remember a little more from year to year what's going on and how. Along with that, I think that would go in line with the vision idea, is write down, maybe in your own policy, why you have these policies. Why do you have field trips in your school every year? Anybody ever stop and ask that? Why do you have one teacher for so many students? Why do you have report cards handed out after every quarter? Why do you, all kinds of things. Put that in with your policies. Work it out with your board. A board hires personnel to carry out school policy. Hiring and firing is the job of the board. At least this is in most cases the truth. In any case, if the board does delegate some of this, it's still going to be ultimately responsible for, I don't think there's any schools around that have HR positions, or departments. But you might be able to you might have an administrator that can do some hiring. That can happen. But I think ultimately it's the board's responsibility to make sure that it has people at the grounds that are going to carry out its policy and that are in line with that. The school board stewards the school's financial resources. So that means it's going to start and maintain accounts in financial institutions that will handle well the money, that are going to be reputable institutions. And they're going to pay the bills. They're going to arrange for whatever the curriculum to be bought and paid for. They're going to figure out where all the resources of the school are going to come from and how they're going to get paid. That is the board's responsibility, to handle the money. The board delegates responsibilities and allocates resources. This is kind of what I've been saying here, but just to zero in on this a little more, the board doesn't have to do everything. The board gets other people to do the smaller, more granular level jobs within the school with the stuff on the ground. The board's going to be operating more from up in the air, overlooking the whole, or surveying the whole scene. And then it will be putting people on the ground at various point positions to take care of the smaller things. Finding resources, that's also something you can delegate. Could be curriculum. I think the board should be have some kind of major role in finding curriculum. You could have a curriculum committee that you assign to do that, or you can just say, we're going to go with all this one publisher, or it might depend on how your school is going to be set up. But you have to make that decision. The board has to make that decision. And I think too many times, it's been referred to here earlier, sometimes boards just defer to teachers. What does the teacher want? What does the principal want? And then what's going to happen is from year to year, when you get new teachers, then that preference is going to change. So your school's not going to be the same from year to year. It's just going to be based on whatever the teachers want. And you don't have the stability. You can't carry out your mission faithfully from year to year if you do that. So you got to have some stability there, and the way to do that is by just deciding as a board how you're going to do that and then keeping some continuity. The board also takes legal and spiritual responsibility for the school. That is, the board is kind of like the owner. If somebody comes and says, we have a property dispute, we have a liability issue, a community kid was playing on the playground and hurt himself. Or a student comes along with some major issues or something, the board's going to have to say, here's where we want to go with this. The board's going to have to bear the responsibility for that decision. And it might have people on the ground, teachers or administrators or other people that can help put the plan into action, but the board's going to have to make the decision and take the responsibility. So if hard things come for a school, the board's going to have to be there and say, we will take care of this hard thing if it's too hard for someone else. And ultimately, they are responsible for that. That might involve following the laws. A board has to familiarize itself with, say, truancy laws. How many times can a student be out of school just skipping out on school before you, like in our state, we're supposed to turn them over to the local jurisdiction if they don't show up? Well, we have to know that. We as a board have to know that. What is it? What's it like? What are the laws for education in your locality, your state? Your state has a board of education that dictates that stuff, and the board needs to know what those things are. If you need lawyers, well, that's the board's responsibility too. I don't know all the ins and outs of that. I don't think that happens too often, thankfully. But if you need lawyers, the board's going to have to do that. If there's ever a situation that arises, hopefully you can make good decisions there. Now, the administrator or the administration. I don't know if any of you have any input at this point in time. Anything you thought of that you'd just like to interject? James.
Yeah, if you have administrative staff that's there all the time teaching, do you depend on them for curriculum?
Yeah, you could get a lot of advice, and I think probably most of you would agree, wouldn't you, that if you have someone experienced in the administrator role that knows more than the board does, you're almost going to have to defer at least somewhat to their advice or their counsel. I would say that the board still is going to bear the final responsibility and have to make the decision, and they should know why they're making this decision. Okay. All right, let's look at administration. I'm going to keep it moving here because we want to do some practical stuff here later. The administrator oversees practical and operational decisions of the school. So on the ground, every day, day after day type of things, working with the staff, with the students, that's more the realm of the administrator. The administrator addresses staff or patron questions and concerns. So the administrator is going to deal more with parents, patrons, drivers, whoever they are, people that are coming in and out of the school day by day. the administrator is going to see them more often, because most times the board is not at the school every day. Even if this is a board member that's doing this, understand, whoever it is that's doing this administrative work, it's going to be their responsibility to make sure that they're communicating with these people. Administrators need to be communicators. So if there's something comes up, a parent that has a question and say, what happened in school today? They go to the administrator, whoever does the administrative tasks in school, and go through them rather than going to the teacher or going to the board, ideally. Okay? The administrator plans activities. This involves making a school calendar, coming up with all school activities, coordinating classroom schedules. There's a lot of things, a lot of logistics that go into just the everyday life of a school that an administrator needs to be on the lookout for. So if there are things that one teacher wants to do that's going to affect the rest of the school, the administrator needs to make sure that it works out. Sometimes, like in our school, students move a little bit from one classroom to another. The administrator needs to make sure that's going to work and that the other teacher knows this is going to happen. If there are field trips, oftentimes that's an administrative responsibility, unless you delegate it out to someone else, but that is just someone else doing administrative work then. Any kind of school activities that the students are involved in is administrative. Board shouldn't have to do that. The administrator fosters in-house communication. So the things that happen within the building and also between the patrons and the staff. But what I'm looking at here is between the teachers, do you have an administrator or someone in your school that can keep the teachers talking to each other? At our school, we have the teachers sit down every day at the end of school and talk for half an hour. Well, the administrator makes that happen. They say, here, we're going to sit down at the table and just talk about our day. Well, might not be much to say. Maybe there's just frustrations to spill. But just some time, some place, some way that they can talk with each other instead of all being siloed away in their classrooms. That can lead to a lot of frustration. So an administrator needs to keep those avenues for communication open and promote them. The administrator coordinates classroom plans. I guess I kind of referred to this earlier. When it comes to scheduling things, the administrator needs to be there doing these things, making sure that they happen in the right way and that they're not conflicting. So scheduling is a big deal in a well-run school. The administrator needs to develop character in staff and students. This one is an interesting one and a hard job. When you hire a teacher, now we just heard about this, we want competent and committed teachers. We want somebody who knows what they're doing. But the day you hire them, you're going to give them a job description, which by the way should be the job of the board, I think. And then you're going to take them farther. You're going to have a plan for this. So if there's, the administrator needs to be on the lookout for character weaknesses in the rest of the school, including his own life, I would say, and be willing to have sort of accountability group structure within the school so the teachers know if something happens, if they're doing something wrong in the classroom, they're probably not going to get away with it. Somebody's going to say, look, maybe we should be doing it this way. Can we try something better? Or if they're doing something well, encourage them in it and say, that's great, that's what we want to see. That's where we want to go with this school. That fits in with our vision and mission statement. So the administrator needs to be that person that can carry out the vision statement on the ground in the school among the staff so that the job gets done. It's with students as well. Well, we all know that we have students and that are great, students that are average, and students that are difficult. So you've got the full range. Every school's got this. Well, raise your hand if you don't. So the administrator needs to be looking out for where the needs are. And he needs to be thinking about, how are we going to address this? Don't just leave it to the teacher. Now, maybe the administrator is a teacher, but that's going to have to be done on that level. This is administrative responsibility. Make sure that the character problems are being worked on, that something's being done. You could communicate with parents, pastors, teachers, whoever it needs to be. Make sure that there's a plan in place and that it's being enacted. And when there are academic concerns, say, there again, that could be a character issue, could be a learning style. And then on the flip side of this, when somebody's doing things well, an administrator should be there encouraging these people on and saying, that's great. We love seeing this. And that's what I don't know if you want to set students up on pedestals and say, hey, everybody be like this. Probably not. But you got to have a way to reward good behavior and encourage good academic performance and so on, good character qualities in school. Some way that the example is set. And of course, they need to help with that themselves to set that example, be willing to work on their own character as administrators. Administrator also works as a liaison or a go-between between the board and staff. So an administrator, in this sense, is an employee in that he is accountable to whoever is over him or her. And this person, administrative staff, need to be thinking about what the board wants. And it can be a hard line to walk to be an administrator, to be sure. Now, if you have great communications with each other and you have good relationships, it shouldn't be too difficult. But sometimes things can get tense, a little tight. You're not sure, what does the board want? I know what teachers want, but how am I supposed to? You got to negotiate. You have to figure something out. And maybe let the staff know, well, you know, really, this is, the board wants this. This is school policy, maybe. Maybe we can talk about this on a board level, and I can mention this to the board, but don't count your chickens before they're hatched. You know, teachers might not always get what they want. And on the other hand, if the board wants something and the teachers don't, well, then that can also be something that the administrator can be a go-between to communicate those things. Okay? Any questions or ideas about administrative responsibilities? There's something I missed, maybe.
Question.
Sure.
How does this differ from principal?
Yeah.
Responsibilities, or are you referring to the same thing?
Principal is often an administrator, but we have the way we've done it is that the principal is not necessarily, depends on the years of experience. Or if they want to, might depend on their particular giftings. Sometimes they might not have the connections with the parents or the patrons. Like if it's an out-of-state teacher, they might not have quite the way of connecting with the patrons that an administrator would. So you might have to feel this out. But it is often done this way, and I'm assuming that probably a bunch of you would have experience with that. The principal teacher in the school is basically going to be performing administrative tasks. Some schools might not have a principal. I can't think of any examples, but this is done where they just have teachers in the classrooms, and then they'll have an administrator who is not necessarily teaching and kind of coordinates everything. So there may be different ways to do this, but I think oftentimes they are synonymous.
I just noticed they don't have much up.
Yeah.
Things like that. I was wondering if that would fall to the principal, or should that be included in the administrator as well?
Ultimately, it would be the board's decision to decide how discipline is carried out in the school, and that would be part of board policy. And then whether the board wants the administrator to be the primary disciplinarian, like everything goes to that office or that desk, or if they want teachers to be individually responsible for discipline in their classrooms, you know, that would be, I would say, a board's decision, how they want that handled. Sometimes teachers can't handle things, and you know, they might be the first court that the student appeals to, and then they have to go to a higher court if they want something else. But that has to be decided ahead of time, I think, by the board. Okay. Yeah, he's handing out these. You might say, wait a minute, I just wrote all that down. Well, I wanted you to write it down. You'll remember it better. Okay, shared tasks. There are some things that I think any administrator and board member are going to come across sometimes and say, well, we're kind of doing the same things, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We do have some overlap in those responsibilities. There is common ground. So let's look at a few of those examples. First of all, we are all discipling people. Whether it's children or staff, one another, we are working at this together. Boards are not exempt from being great commissioners, if I can call them that. Someone who is out there teaching and admonishing, like the Great Commission says. And teaching all things. We're all in that responsibility. I think a board can even think of itself as being as helping to develop administration, because they are responsible for that part of the school. But everybody's discipling somebody. Big brothers disciple little brothers, big sisters, little sisters, etc. And in a school, there's going to be that teacher, student, or disciple and master relationship almost everywhere, somewhere. And we're all doing this together. And so there are going to be general principles that we can share. And again, this is part of this Anabaptist vision for education, that we can especially think of discipleship from an Anabaptist perspective in an Anabaptist school. How are we going to carry this out compared to, say, the way somebody else might do it? It's going to look different. But we share that. We have mutuality and respect. It's not the prerogative of the board to just act like a big boss, or the administrator to just act like a big boss and say, listen, you do whatever I say. We need to have a sense of equality amongst one another. Again, this is an Anabaptist value, that we all come on the same level, that we're not stacked as clergy and laity, like in the church example. We're not necessarily stacked that way. We're all servants one of another. So even though the roles should be clearly defined, there needs to be still that willingness to stoop to everybody else's level, even to a student's level. Just as an example, when an administrator works with a student, how do you approach that student? Do you come at them over them, or do you get down on the ground like this, get down beside them? That might be just one way to show that you're on their level. So there's that kind of respect among the staff, between the staff and the board. Also, confidentiality is included in this. When there's something that's being talked about, some relationship issue or something with a patron, make sure you talk to the right people about it, and don't talk to the people that don't need to know about this. When a board makes a decision, there's confidentiality there. I think we understand that needs to happen. Just all what happens in a board meeting doesn't need to be spread all over the countryside. Same way with our intra-role responsibilities in school. When something is being worked on, make sure that there's that respect of confidentiality there. That we all share that. Clear communication. Oh my. This is a hard part for any human being. What is it about us? I just got this quote today that I saw that I thought was pretty good. George Bernard Shaw said, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. You forgot to hit the send button. The network was down. Somebody was listening to something else. They had their earbuds in, maybe. I don't know. All kinds of things. You thought they heard you. Or I thought I heard you. And you said something else. Now you're telling me something else. Well, wow. These are difficult things. So it seems like the order of the day for communication is over-communication rather than under-communication. I know we can make a pain out of ourselves by constantly double checking. And there probably is a place where we just need to stop and say, look, that person knows it. But we do need to make sure that we're clear. And in initial communications, make sure that you are understood. Develop things, habits like eye contact or repeating back to each other if you need to, so that the communications are obviously understood. These things are so, so necessary. Misunderstandings are so unfortunate and they happen all the time. It can be so easily avoided. Well, easily, I say, but they can be avoided. A lot of hurt and pain can be avoided by clear communication and not allowing so many misunderstandings to take place. So these are things that we share. We all need to communicate clearly. And that often involves good habits. All right, some differences. There are some differences between board jobs and administrative jobs, obviously. I'd like to just suggest that in general, the board's job is more general. And in general, the administration's job is more specific. It's going to be more detailed on the administrative level. And a board can get bogged down trying to think of vision and 50 years down the road and all this kind of thing, and at the same time get trying to figure out all the small decisions in a school. It's just not necessary. Let the board be the visionary and the planner, the big decision people, the long-term people, and the administration can work more on the day-to-day work, the more specific things. Here's one way to look at it. A board is a little more on the philosophical side of things, and the administration is more on the practical side of things. So a board is supposed to think through what's going on and follow the logic through big decisions and what our school is and what it wants to be down the road, what we want it to be down the road. What are we working toward? What are we producing? Whereas the administration is thinking more about how this is going to happen on a practical level. Maybe it's also this way, an owner versus a manager. An owner bears a lot more responsibility when, say, there's a major bust in a business because they feel the financial pinch. They wonder what's going to happen to my business. But a manager can just kind of go off and get another job. And this is a little how it is. Both are very necessary. Both are codependent. But a board does need to bear that responsibility that the manager doesn't, or that the administrator doesn't necessarily need to have. A board is more long-term in its vision, and administration is more short-term or day-to-day in its vision. Maybe you need to make a flow chart to sort out the differences in responsibilities. It could be a good visual way to just lay it out on a piece of paper and show it to everybody. This is just an example. If the board is running the school, bears responsibility for the operations and the functions of the school, and then the administrator is carrying these things out, principal and the secretary are working with the staff, with teaching, and the teachers are over the aides. Here's one that we made for our school some years ago. This is specific to our school. Some organizations have much larger flow charts that have lots and lots of responsibilities and people. But it just helps us from time to time to be able to look at this and say, this is who reports to who, and this is how we're going to go forward. If there's a question or a decision, who goes to who? All right? Okay, a few things just to show what a healthy relationship looks like. Boards should not micromanage administration. It can be a temptation for a board to look at an administrator and say, you're not doing it right. Or look at the teachers, whoever's doing the administrative work, and say, can't you do this a different way? Can't you try it? And it can really get to be stressful for administration or the people that are on the ground in school that are familiar with everyday operations more than board is. And then they hear this stuff from the board. So boards need to be really careful that they're not going too far over that line. The boards do need to be active. Boards should visit school. Boards should be
wondering what's going on. They should be curious. They should be communicating with staff and administration. But micromanaging is when you just get too far into the weeds trying to figure out what they're all doing wrong. It can easily develop into a critical spirit, and it's very stressful for a school. So don't let that happen. Boards should not back away from strong administration. This can happen. You hire an alpha male of some kind that can, you know, just run the school on his own. And the board just says, oh, well, that person knows what they're doing, and they just kind of disappear. Don't let that happen either. Okay, the board still is responsible. Even if you have five people on a board that are servants and, you know, just have these kinds of gifts where they come alongside, and none of them are strong personalities, and then you have an administrator who is, they still need to bear the responsibility, somehow figure that out, and make sure that that's in the job description for the administrator. Board members who administrate must learn to switch roles. Sometimes this happens that a board member, even the chairman of the board, will run the school. But when you go to the school, then you're an administrator, not a board member. Can you do that? Switch hats. Ooh, now I'm an administrator. Now I'm a board member. Now I'm an administrator. Now I'm a board member. Figure out where the switch happens. And that could be tricky for someone who does dual responsibilities. All right, I think we're done with that for now. Now what I'd like for you to do for a few minutes here is think of a situation where you're not sure what the board should do and what the administration should do. What should be administrative roles or what should be board roles? Probably you can come up with some pretty fast here. I'll just prime your pumps a little by coming up with one that happened to us, and I'll try to be general, and I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I don't want anybody to put anybody else on the spot. But let's say a new patron applies to school. Never been there before. Children are on different levels. Who does what? Somebody give me some quick ideas here. What does the board do?
Yeah. We give them an application to fill out.
Yes, thank you. The board needs to give them an application to fill out. Anything else? Yes.
It's part of that, make sure that they agree with the school administration.
Yes. So the board needs to communicate with the school about what the expectations would be. The board needs to communicate with a potential patron about what the expectations would be. Give them a handbook. Anything else that the board should do? Just quickly here.
So by application, I meant an application that covers what would be expected of them and their signatures to comply with what's in the handbook.
Yes, the board is responsible for making sure that the application process is done. Yes, anything administration should do. Let's say the application is in. What should administration do?
Find out how many students and what classes they're in.
Okay, the administration might want to concern itself with where they are academically.
So might even want to contact the former school.
Okay, find out before. Well, maybe that's a board job too.
It might be, but depending where you're at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they need to work with the students on the ground. Where are they? What do we need to do to catch up? That's it.
And then communicate that to the teachers.
Yes. And to the parents. Yes.
Place of the test.
I'm sorry?
The placement test.
Okay. Get some placement tests together. Find out where they are. That's right. Good administrative responsibility. Okay. We're well on the way.
Thank you for listening. For additional recordings produced by the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, visit The Dock for Learning at www.thedockforlearning.org.